In today's news headlines, after decades of running for the nation's highest office, former Senator and former Vice President Joe Biden finally accepted the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Speaking on Thursday, the fourth and final day of the 2020 Democratic National Convention, Biden gave his address from his home state of Delaware and promised to offer a stark contrast from President Donald Trump.
The current president has cloaked American darkness for much too long. Too much anger, too much fear, too much division. Here and now, I give you my word. If you entrust me with the presidency, I will draw on the best of us, not the worst. I'll be an ally of the light, not the darkness. It's time for us, for we the people, to come together. I'll work hard for those who didn't support me, as hard for them as I did for those who did vote for me. That's the job of a president, to represent all of us, not just our base or our party. This is not a partisan moment. This must be an American moment. It's a moment that calls for hope and light and love, hope for our future, light to see our way forward, and love for one another. This campaign isn't just about winning votes. It's about winning the heart and, yes, the soul of America. Winning it for the generous among us, not the selfish. Winning it for workers who keep this country going, not just the privileged few at the top. Winning it for those communities who have known the injustice of a knee on the neck. For all the young people who have known only America being rising inequity and shrinking opportunity.
That's former Vice President Joe Biden making his case to voters about why he would be a better leader than the incumbent. While Biden's speech was lauded by most Democrats, even conservatives were impressed. Longtime Republican pollster Frank Luntz gave Biden high marks for his speech and said, quote, "I do believe that Joe Biden is ahead, and I do believe the challenges for Donald Trump are significant." Fox News host Chris Wallace said the address was, quote, "enormously effective." Also speaking on the fourth night of the convention were Andrew Yang and Cory Booker, both of whom ran unsuccessful bids for the nomination.
If you voted for Trump or didn't vote at all back in 2016, I get it. Many of us have gotten tired of our leaders seeming far removed from our everyday lives, and we despair that our government will ever rise to the challenges of our time. But we must give this country, our country, a chance to recover. And recovery is only possible with a change of leadership and new ideas.
Last week, Donald Trump said, and I quote, "Our economy is doing good. While 40 million Americans are at risk of losing their homes, 30 million aren't getting enough to eat, and 5.4 million people have lost their health care because of this crisis. He has failed us."
That's Senator Cory Booker speaking on the fourth day of the Democratic National Convention. Before him was entrepreneur Andrew Yang, who, like Booker, had run for president. Another highlight of the final night of the DNC was Senator Tammy Duckworth, an Iraq war veteran who slammed Trump as the nation's coward-in-chief.
That's the kind of leader our service members deserve. One who understands the risks they face and who would actually protect them by doing his job as commander-in-chief. Instead, they have a coward-in-chief who won't stand up to Vladimir Putin, read his daily intelligence briefings, or even publicly admonish adversaries for reportedly putting bounties on our troops' heads.
That's Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois speaking on the final night of the 2020 DNC, where Joe Biden accepted his party's nomination for president. The New York Times analyzed the speaking times for those who got prime spots during the four-day virtual event, and concluded that, quote, "all four nights were dominated by familiar political figures, many of whom have known and worked for years with Joseph R. Biden Jr., the party's nominee, and share his center-left ideology." And progressive figures like Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, quote, "were vastly outnumbered by more establishment-friendly figures." Meanwhile, President Trump, seeking to eclipse Biden, spoke at an event in Old Forge, Pennsylvania on Thursday, bringing together a few thousand of his supporters and flouting social distancing guidelines. CNN described his speech as, quote, "a blizzard of false claims that included assertions that President Obama spied on the Trump campaign, that Trump had opposed the Iraq war, that the COVID-19 pandemic was slowing down, and that he had passed the Veterans Choice Bill. None of those claims were true. Speaking on Fox News on the same evening, Trump also announced that he would be protecting the election's integrity by sending law enforcement to polls. He said, "We're going to have sheriffs, and we're going to have law enforcement, and we're going to have, hopefully, U.S. attorneys, and we're going to have everybody and attorney generals." Trump does not have the authority to deploy police to polls. In other news, the Postmaster General Louis DeJoy faced a Senate hearing on Friday, during which lawmakers aggressively questioned him about some of the drastic policy changes he oversaw, which are leading to slower mail delivery times and which could delay voting by mail in November. Mr. DeJoy, who is a staunch Trump loyalist, GOP donor, and who has business conflicts of interest with the U.S. Postal Service, assured senators that, quote, "The Postal Service is fully capable of delivering the nation's election mail securely and on time." However, he did not outline a plan to ensure that. He also said he had, quote, "no idea about the reports of high-volume mail sorting machines being uninstalled or of pickup mailboxes being removed." Although DeJoy had claimed he was putting on hold his announced changes to the Postal Service until after the election, he did not say he would reverse those changes that had already been made. CNN obtained an internal email to postal workers instructing them not to reconnect those machines that had already been uninstalled. The LA Times reported that delivery services have been slowed down so much that at a massive mail sorting facility in South Los Angeles, quote, "workers fell so far behind processing packages that by early August, gnats and rodents were swarming around containers of rotted fruit and meat, and baby chicks were dead inside their boxes." Trump loyalist and former White House chief strategist Stephen Bannon has pleaded not guilty to charges of fraud in a massive scheme to privately raise money for Trump's border wall pet project. Bannon was arrested along with three others on Thursday. According to AP, quote, "much of the money never made it to the wall. Instead, it was used to line the pockets of group members, including Bannon, who served in Trump's White House and worked for his campaign." A judge has released Bannon from custody on a $5 million bail. At least five people are dead in California from the fires that continue to rage across the state, and particularly in the northern and central regions. Nearly 700,000 acres have burned so far. The set of fires known as the LNU Lightning Complex Fire has destroyed more than 200,000 acres in California's wine country in particular, and as of Friday morning, they were 0% contained. Thousands of residents are under evacuation orders. According to the LA Times, quote, "the fire has caused extensive damage at Big Basin Redwoods State Park and forced the evacuation of staff, campers, and other visitors. The state park, California's oldest, sustained damage to its headquarters, campgrounds, and historic core." Officials with the California Department of Parks and Recreation said the agency did not yet know the number of acres that had burned within the park and were assessing the damage.